Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good evening, my light family everywhere, and very, very welcome to our show tonight. And I'm going to share with you some things that have come in the last few days that you may not be aware of. And so I hope we have an exciting hour together. There's a great deal of information that has come in. So tremendous changes have happened cosmically to humanity, actually, in the last few days. One can literally feel it when you walk outside that things feel lighter. And some of this has to do with the future and the past being identified in a different way than just movement. It had to do with the fact that when we are on this disc of life that moves around and around, it's not just the around and around movement that is the issue. It's also the fact that we had a spiral below us of time in which humanity lived. So literally, we were in the position until this all came to a head on Sunday that has just gone by. Literally, we had it that if somebody walked in the street, they could still be in 2009. Some could be in 2012, and others of us have shot beyond 2012. Well, with enough movies scaring the heck out of people, not to mention people's books and all the other things, people may still think that we're in 2012 and manifest those things, you know, which is not helpful. So this, it was really imperative that this at this time be dealt with. So it was fascinating because we had worked on what I shared a bit with you on last week's show when I was in New York. I actually just got back from New York hours ago. And it had to do with the fact that there were 76 areas in which it were found that we were reaching for external comforts, and also 76 areas where we had abandoned ourselves. Of course, they go hand in hand, because when you abandon yourself, you reach for from the outside to fulfill yourself. So we were told by the Infinite during class that this was, in fact, the vertical axis of time, and that it was the horizontal movement of the disc of life, or the template of life, and the drawing of that you can see on AlmeenDiary.com. So in addition to that, we have got the spiral of the past, and we have the spiral of the future above the disc and below the disc. So below the disc is the spiral of the past. So not only was that the wheel of life moving around and around, up and up, a spiral of ascension that we dealt with in this issue of the 76 pieces of ourself that needed to be mended, but horizontally, if you will, if this is the vertical axis, if you look horizontally, the labyrinth of the future and the labyrinth of the past had to be resolved. The holders of the key for this horizontal axis are those who represent the inner child and the inner elder or sage of the planet. If you look at north and south, it represents the warrior and the nurturer. And so the self-nurturing that wasn't there, the warrior came and tried to fill the gaps. That's the vertical axis. But the horizontal axis had to do with the fairy kingdom. And right after I finished the show last week, I was writing down the fairy. They wanted to give us 24 things that would restore the magic in our lives. I have a wonderful picture here of the picnic that my pod in Toronto, my family there, held. They meet together regularly, which is why there's such a very strong group of masters, and there is clearly a physical ball visible above their heads that is so dense it looks like you can poke it with your finger. If you go on, and Jan says that she has gathered many of these photographs, so it's possibly on the blog that she runs for us. And if you go to the blog or the AlmeenDiary.com's photo section, you should be able to see above one of our Italian masters, the Masters Dennis, this beautiful pink ball above her head, right after we had retrieved it per instruction of the Infinite from the sort of a labyrinth that's next to the Great Pyramid. So the magic requires that we leave the past and the future behind, that we start to live in purity, which means in the place of no time. So the fairies were giving us 24, and suddenly there were no more fairies. In midstream, they stopped. I could not even get any more than 6. Fortunately, in the day, the master Dawn in my class began to write fairy language, and she wrote all 24 down. We've posted 2 on the diary just for interest's sake, so you can see the beautiful information they're giving us about how you can live the life that can use incorruptible white magic. But what I want to speak with you tonight about was the part of the labyrinth of the past that is held by the Aboriginals from Australia. And there are stone books that came out of the dragon libraries in Poland, where the Oracle Aoife just went and she retrieved those stone books, and we've been translating them. And in Stone Book 2, it says, "In a rock, in desert sands, like a beacon upon the land, with a song, unlock the labyrinth of a time when life was birthed." Now, the rock in the desert sands that they're referring to is Ayers Rock, Australia. And I've always known, and I have taken a brief look one time, because I was looking for where all the seer stones were on Earth, and there is a set of seer stones inside Ayers Rock, and I saw that they had tremendously many records and sacred objects and magical objects held in there. So the Oracle Shelley had created this strange little script, that I could feel the power of. And what it is, it's the song to open the labyrinth of the past in Ayers Rock so that it can be dissolved. So it says, "With a song, unlock the labyrinth of a time when life was birthed." That's how old the libraries are in Ayers Rock. It's hard to fathom, my brothers and sisters, until you start to read the multiple references that continually says that we have been the cradle of civilization, that it is here where life was birthed. So for all this time, the records of the past have been held in Ayers Rock, a little bit like an Akashic record, but not as complete. It told the high points. "Let it tell of life when all were one. Open the rock with a song. Let past and future as one combine, bringing an end to linear time. Upon that day, as long before, the labyrinth of the past shall be no more." In other words, there was a time that it wasn't there, and it shall be like that time, as though it has come full circle. "The fairy cave, too, shall disappear." And the fairy cave, my brothers and sisters, it was behind the Niagara Falls. And the oracles had gone there, and they had seen so many fairies come out of the waterfall. And that's where their cave was with the labyrinth. And some of my class members were actually able to go in and see the huge book that lay there and the emblem on top of it and so on. So it says, "The fairy cave too shall disappear as the end of time shall be near. Only the moment shall then exist as life prepares into timelessness to birth." Now, I want to share with you what they said about about living in oneness. As I wrote this, it seemed so simple, yet it was one of the most profoundest documents that I've read, and how to live in oneness. Keha na we saba utunaneng manatuha. Ask yourself whether you are dreaming often. In other words, just like you say to yourself when you're trying to promote lucid dreaming at night, am I dreaming in your dream time? In the day, say, am I dreaming? Or is there really a reality beyond that? And truly ask it of yourself many times a day. This is one of the ways to learn to live in oneness again, by seeing the dreamlike quality of life. Pawape uhunani yasta piba setevi. I want to read their language for you as I translate it, because other than the infinite's language, this is in all likelihood the most ancient language that I've yet spoken or read for somebody other than the infinite's. With no thought, look through another's eyes. This is the second step on how to start to live in oneness. So often I'm speaking to people, and I feel sometimes that even though it sounds rude, I just want to say to them, excuse me, are you really hearing me? Because I can tell that they're thinking and they have such a roaring dialogue in their heads, they're not hearing a word I'm saying. So how could they really respond to it? And so, with no thought, see another's world view. Now, I will tell you that if you have, if you have no world view, which is part of mastery and the silence of the mind, it's a little uncomfortable to be able to look through another's eyes and be seeing a world view, simply because it feels like looking through density. But yet, it is the way to start to be in oneness with another. Sete bana su aranitwa bahete. Do not believe your eyes. Feel what you see. Kesete wanu ashata ba hurawi meseta. With slightly squinted eyes, see behind the night sky. So number three says, don't just look with your eyes. Really feel what you see. And in other words, omnisensory perception. So with slightly squinted eyes, see behind the night sky. As you might know by going onto our diary, almindiary.com, which incidentally, my brothers and sisters, I have just faxed through some really fascinating material that was given to the Oracle Shelley, and Simon proudly told everybody in New York that for sure, the most oracles anywhere per capita is the Toronto pod, and he's correct. And part of it is their dedication in coming together once a week to be able to share this work. So just to share this with you, on the diary, there is a article that comes from an observatory, and our beloved sister Joanne, who's our facilitator for the Sedona pod and with Christina Trevino for the cruise that's coming in January, she is the one that found it. There's a smallish European, I think it might be German, observatory that's actually seen that what we are presented with as the starry sky is a hologram, that you can see a different reality through it, like a glass, like an overlay on an overhead projector with some designs on it. It isn't real. And I've been saying this for many years, and then recently this article came out, and here's what they said. With slightly squinted eyes, see behind the night sky. Now, if you consider how long ago this was written, but it was written for us, for a time when we needed to once again have some exercises to help us to live in the oneness. The slightly squinted eyes is a shamanic technique that's called soft focus. When you are in soft focus, like I had a brother in my New York class, it was really wonderful at seeing the fairies. But some of us have to do a soft focus to put things, slightly squinted eyes, to put things out of focus so you can actually see these little beings. And so it says, Kana bi heta usa ne nunis asata. In stillness, sit while you walk somewhere else. I think it was two Toronto pots again. I remember it was the time I was teaching them about bilocation. And our beloved Oracle Kim from Alberta, Canada, took a photo of me when I was doing that, and it showed me in two places at once in the class. And then the next day we practiced being three places. And as she took the photograph again, it shows me three places. I didn't put it on any site because of the fact that, you know, somebody on our staff was saying, listen, people are going to just say that you moved the camera or you moved during the camera, so there's no real way to prove it is what it is. But nevertheless, it was very interesting because what we did is that I asked them, I said, look, one of my favorite places in the world is the Marriott Hotel. I haven't been able to be there for many years, but hotel that's in Kauai. And it's the place where there is little black swans that swim right up to the table, and you can sit there having breakfast and under these beautiful fragrant trees and so on. And so I was saying that it's important that we can sit somewhere and walk somewhere else. And so what happened is that in the stillness you sit, but you can feel yourself immediately be somewhere else. You can be walking down the streets of London and smell the diesel from the buses and so on, and hear the traffic of all the little black taxis and stuff like that going by. You can, this is a good practice to be many places at once, to live in oneness. So, Bahava Waye Misha Nate Hu Hawi. You are the air. Breath is not needed. It's important to know when you go into the God kingdom, my brothers and sisters, it will feel as though it's very difficult to breathe. And you just, you know, for some people, they just breathe right in there. But you have to be able to remind yourself, I don't need to breathe. I am the air. Kuhuna yawahesh. Anawi is a ta. Your body is a field. Cold and heat cannot affect you. Just imagine the heat or the cold or the wind or the rain moving right through your body, the way it would move through a cloud. You are simply a field. And our beloved sister Connie, who's one of the masters of the Ohio Pod, was telling us the various injuries that she had sustained, cuts and hot boiling water on her foot and so on, and that she just kept reminding herself that she's a field. And so ultimately at the end of the day, there was not the slightest injury, or the cuts, did, as usual, doesn't, they don't bleed. And you can actually just hold them together, and they knit together very well, very quickly. Misha Nuhapa Ete Suha Subhavata Kehe Anish. Memories are not real. The past does not exist. It is so important that we literally rein those memories in like a horse in front of a wagon. As the horse wants to go its own way, you pull on the reins, you get him to stay on the path. He can't stop and have his breakfast next to the road. He has to keep going if you're riding that buggy to town. Your memories must be reined in like that. Every time you approach somebody and say, oh no, this is going to be confrontational again, or oh my goodness, this person's going to be grouchy or whatever it is we think they're going to be. My brothers and sisters, that was yesterday. That's a memory. It's a dream. The past does not exist. Ka aha shesh divach sekevi aya wa. Be fully present with your experiences. You see, we have been so knowing and learning oriented that it is imperative for us that we realize we're not here to learn. We're here to experience. And so as a child is fully present, every moment that they are being pushed in the buggy by their mother, they are seeing the dog that goes by. They see the birds. They see that another baby is unhappy because he lost his bottle and his mother doesn't even notice. And she's still pushing him in the buggy. They see everything because they are totally, fully present with the experiences of their life. This is what they are advocating to becoming like a child. The reason for this is when you're like a child, you're in the total white light that has no movement. When you are living as though there is a past, it causes movement in your life. And this means it causes linear time. Ku'aha ushesh arakla vina miyawe. Live as a proxy. To cleanse is to bathe the earth. How would we live if we can take a second to think this through? How would we live if every single thing we do affects everything? Like if we make our bed in a sloppy way, is there some place where this is affecting it? If our child plays a violent video game, is this going to cause distress to somebody somewhere in a street fight? Live as a proxy, because in reality, there's only one life. As we start to know it, we can affect all by living beautifully. Pini kaha sa, wenaha bite pini. Let the wind move through your body. Stand in the wind and feel it blowing all the way through. And now, if I just want to go back here on this issue of the wind, there was the sweetest little bit, if I can lay my hands on it right away. I don't think I can. Oh, yes, I can. That the fairies gave us. This was in their book in the cave, where there were 24 things that they wrote. They wrote about the wind. Let me see if I can find it. They said that the wind... Oh, this is so beautiful. Laugh every day, that resources can flow. Be silly and funny, like a child would play. If your window is open and your house is clean, we will come in to help you laugh, though our influence is unseen. So anyway, they speak about this issue of the wind. And they say that you can let the wind tell you, carry messages for you. They say that the wind is a messenger and that you can send messages on the wind. I sometimes actually, I have a wonderful student that I've never met, and his name is David, and I have not seen him, but I know that he sends me messages on the wind because I receive them. You can send messages on the wind, and they're saying to start to practice that. They also say that, here they say, the wind feels the hearts of the people in the street. The wind tells of their feelings to the forest trees. The trees sing a song that help people feel glad. Talk to the wind whenever you're sad. Speak to of wisdom that comes from your heart, of joyful celebration and songs of praise. This it will share with others as well. The wind blows from one person to the other, and if we can see it as a messenger, it will take our messages. But the Aboriginals are saying that the wind moves through the body. Kahanawe asada. Kasata bihina setewe kihilisat. The stars are yourselves. Know them by looking within. And the Dogon tribe in Africa knew about Sirius B long before our telescopes picked up that there was this small bluish star in this that was part of the Sirius star system. They knew it because they become one with the night sky. They also know it because every star that there is has a cell within the human body. So this is, again, one of the practices to start practicing about getting to live in this oneness. Nuhusa, Biri, Aegri, look at food as a preference, not a need. Nahpa, Suhubaye, Misha Ahawe, Eya, become fluid, unfolding. It is the nature of life. Incidentally, I just wish to tell you this, my brothers and sisters. This has to do, I believe I've said this wrong. Let me just make sure of this. I might have said it right. No, this is fine. It is from the Aboriginals. So it says, Ah, ata, barunkewe setana subatahu. The admirable qualities of all are within you. So if you envy another's ability to organize, if you envy another's ability to stay in serenity, whatever you see in them, that also is within you. Not only because you have to have it in order to recognize it in another, but also because you are all things. You are not only yourself, but them as well. Maha usata banawe uhayana hataweye. Feel the depths of your being, not the width. Whoa, this is something really deep. Let's say it again. Feel the depths of your being, not the width. Do you know that it is only sort of in the last week that this experience has been coming up for me? And our beloved sister Chloe, who, by the way, my brothers and sisters, if you haven't, she's the dean of the Academy of Alchemy out in Quebec. But if you haven't gone to our website, theacademyofalchemy.com, please, please, please take a peek there. We would love for you to see it. And the other thing that we would like for you to see is angelsoundhealing.com. Please go and take a look there as well. We have our 18 elixirs up, and they're only 99 cents a piece, and we think you're going to like them beside the wonderful things that we're getting feedback on what they're doing for people. So to go back to this, Chloe says that she's also had this experience. See, in the past, when I want to find my vastness, or I'm living for my vastness, I'm basically living from expansiveness. And the expansiveness is very, very, very wide, if you will. Only recently have I realized that's formlessness. There is neither form nor formlessness as a reality, because anything that can have an opposite cannot exist. So form is not real. Neither is formlessness. What lies beyond it is deep, deep, deep inside me, going deeper until there is no end to it. This depth of being, vis-a-vis the width or the contraction, the formlessness or the form, is the real me. And the brief glimpses that I've had of it is so immensely powerful and so immensely innocent. It is beyond any explanation, but I truly challenge you to try that as a means of meditation. And, excuse me, the Infinite is saying, Ishpechkiach inishkayasa ishuta mishechvirkya nasu. The Infinite says that there is a song written by the Pleiadians that is in the crop glyphs of Wiltshire. But it is not 2008, I believe that it is 2007. And it is one that was in a calendar that my sister Joanne brought to the New York pod. And I looked at that and I said to them, this is a song. This is not writing, nor is it a glyph. This is music. It's just the Pleiadian way of writing music. And I stuffed it in my briefcase. I haven't looked at it since. But the bottom line, if it is, that song, the Infinite is saying, is the song to help you sink into the depths of your being. And very strange, because I briefly saw Paul today, our sound producer of the Elixirs, and he said to me, we're to produce a CD of the Star Races music. I said, whoa, wouldn't that be interesting? Can you imagine what will come out of my mouth? And so here's the first one. We need to translate the song in the field glyphs, and the Infinite is saying that it was meant to help you access the depths rather than the width of your being. Kahushehe manawa sutusane. Honor the body as a miraculous tool. In other words, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, this form, this is just as much of an illusion as formlessness, but at the same time, it's a miraculous tool. It's that which we play the game of relationship with. We know that relationship is an illusion. But that doesn't mean it's not a joyous game. It's just that if we know it's an illusion, my brothers and sisters, we will, in fact, be able not to be addicted to it. Now, the fascinating thing is that the material that I just translated, well, I put it together a few hours ago. I picked up my little girl from school right as I got in, and she went to pet the kitties in the pound, and then she went to pet the puppies in the pet store, and everywhere I was looking at this. This material was received by Shelley in Toronto, and they speak of how our addiction in relationship happened, how fire arose, how light split. It was phenomenal. And that's going to be on our diary. If Jan is back from New York, it will be on tonight. If she isn't, it will be on tomorrow. So the body is a miraculous tool. We became addicted to relationship because we thought it was real. But it's the tool for us to play the joyous game of relationship, pretending we are separate when we are one. Karach banu sihet pa'u sevete wene. Hurrying does not exist in eternal life. Just think, if you have youth, eternally. You know, I had that discussion with my little girl over dinner tonight. She was asking me about my birth. And I explained to her the truth. And I said, when life is eternal, there isn't a birth, nor is there a death, because there's no beginning, neither is there an end. And she's been incredible about accepting these paradoxes that we live in life. And this is literally what they're reminding us. If you can just remember that you have forever, then hurrying does not exist. Kursut bira pahek selveve arastu mishita. As the grass always comes again, so you are always new. What are they talking about? Are they talking about our rebirths and reincarnation? No, they're not. they are saying that every second life renews itself. And so the person you knew 1 hour ago isn't the same person now. So, more splendid than the sky are your depths. Can you imagine how beautiful it is? It's like standing at the edge of a rain puddle. It might look small and insignificant, but in it is the starry sky, or in it is the beautiful blue sky with the clouds going through it. It is exquisite depths that is the answer to the starry sky. It's that infinite within us. Karasut uhurunespa eskele harsata. Feel the moment stretch until it is boundaryless. Oh my gosh. So what I love about this work, my brothers and sisters, is simply the fact that there is this fresh perspective given to me every single day. What a perspective to have. I've never conceptualized this. That to live in the place of no time, which is what they're trying to get us to do by reminding us, they wrote this before the split happened. How the split happened, and I'm sure this is just the first layer of it, is given in the material that I just sent right before the show to be put on our blog. So, or our diary, whatever you call it. So, it says that if you want to live in the eternal time, or the no time is better, because there's eternal time that goes around and around like a wheel, there's linear time that flies like an arrow, but there is an eternal time that is neither. You take the moment, you go to the middle of the circle, the middle of the core of your being where the moment is, and you stretch it until it is boundaryless. Tu uhusamisha, velva via wanesetawa. Can you imagine this language came from before duality began? From the time when we lived in oneness with just unique perspectives of oneness? Your body is a malleable shape you can change. Number 23. Katahe paha uhuru setavi manuhes paha. There are no nights nor days, neither sleep or awake. When you sleep, you ask yourself, am I awake? And when you are awake, you ask yourself, am I dreaming? Remember they started out by saying that? Because they're saying there's neither sleep nor awake. Now, I've got to be quite frank with you. I would be delighted if you folks can discuss this one on our forum, because I'm not entirely sure what they mean. I simply translated it. There are no nights nor days. That I understand, because we're actually not turning vis-a-vis the sun as we think we are. It's simulated that the night and the day is still moving like a hologram. So there is in reality not a night and day. But neither sleep or awake, I don't quite get that. So I would imagine they've got a deep meaning behind that. And if you can discuss that on the forum, I'll take a peek at your conclusions so that I can learn as well. Number 24. Uhash, terra, unaya, seta. All that lives, I am that. Those are the 24 wisdoms of the one life. The Stone Book 3. The continents have songs that each one sings, like an alchemical equation, peace to all it brings. But a time will come when in tunnels unseen, under the ground, devices will be placed by other cosmos beings, poisoning the lands with pain and hate. To control man they will aspire, that they do not evolve higher. Restore the frequencies found in the lands. Set free the purity of the children of man. Now, one of the masters, Christy, of the Ohio Pod, had sent her dream to us of this green matter coming in and poisoning the area where we were, but few could see it. And then as well, my brothers and sisters, this last, actually it was yesterday. Yesterday I finished writing what is possibly our last Bhavaspatah protocol healing book, and it is the healing for cystic fibrosis. The cystic fibrosis, according to my beloved sister Jan, who is a nurse and was in the New York class, is the thick mucus in the lungs because there's an enzyme missing that doesn't thin the mucus like it should. We have had this thick mucus under the lands, and I spoke about it actually on a radio show that I did Saturday night, and you can always go and peek at our home website, spiritualjourneys.com, for radio shows and so on. But I spoke about it there, and I explained not only what happened during 9/11, which was sure an eye-opener for me, had no idea what the benefit was of it, I believe I said as well. And then I spoke about these tunnels under the ground. And the Oracle Shelley saw them. And in a prophecy she received, it said, look under the ground. She saw balls, three different types of balls, placed under the ground. What she was seeing is that every continent has had these balls taking from them very specific frequencies. And so the major continents on Earth are riddled with tunnels. I know this because years ago I remember that I had students in Colorado tell me that their house shakes. They can hear them drilling underneath their house. And, you know, I knew that this was a major problem because the Americans developed this device, then sold it to the Iraqis, and the people in Iran, who then used it basically to create underground weaponry and biological warfare and everything else underneath the ground, so they couldn't find it. And so these tunnels under the ground, particularly where there are things that they wanted to hide, or where there are things that they wanted to place under heavily populated areas. And I spoke on Saturday night how awful it felt inside me all day long because, you know, I live without thought. And so my body is relaxed. And all of a sudden my body was horribly tense and I could feel that it was being poisoned, polluted by some sort of frequency that was sent at us. So it is literally like the cystic fibrosis of the earth. And until it was healed, and on Saturday night, we went up huge, huge, huge number of layers. We didn't quite make where we thought we would be because there were specific things that the masters were holding on to of the past. But when we did our work in the morning, the actual pivot point that we had created, the rest, it released it, and the cosmos shot up 1,054 levels from where we started out last Friday. And so not in levels of light, because light is actually an illusion. It's part of the building blocks of life, but in awakeness, or as we would call it, consciousness. But we have had these balls. They look like balls that are placed under the land in tunnels that have robbed specific frequencies. And so from Australia and New Zealand and the Pacific area, they robbed artistic delight, creative delight. There are 13 forms of delight, and this is what they've basically robbed us of. Australia, New Zealand, artistic delight, creative delight, and the delight of self-discovery. In Eurasia, the delight of play. Life became serious, and work and hardship and duty, and the delight of the adventure. they also robbed Eurasia of omnisensory delight. So in the Americas, and why did they aim to do this? No. They simply aimed with this, by the triangulation of the three balls, to draw out the feel-good frequencies from the people. And these are areas of delight that these specific land masses had as their strong suit. Each continent sings a specific song, and specific areas of delight were emphasized. And then this took it. In America, it is the delight, and it's the Americas, both north and south. The delight of exploring diverse oneness. The delight of our boundarylessness. When we are afraid of that boundarylessness, we make absolutely sure we suppress feelings with dialogue in the mind, which then creates a focus point so that we don't feel our vastness, or we stay busy, busy, busy with doingness so that there is this activity that keeps us out of our boundlessness. In America, the thing to do, and I don't know if it's like this in other countries, but these little kids from preschool, which starts at age 3, they start to have extracurricular activities. They go to preschool, they go to kindergarten. They have music lessons, they have flute lessons, they have karate lessons, they have singing lessons, they have ballet lessons. All my children's friends have had those kinds of activities. I've usually encouraged that my child finds a passion. For instance, Jaylene loves to ride horses, so she's becoming a beautiful horsewoman, you know, beautiful little rider. I've asked her if she wants to do ballet or music. She doesn't. I'd like her to, because it's just so handy to have it. But you know what? That she does what she wants. She spends hours playing when she's not doing homework. She's 10 years old, and she still can play intensely imaginative games. It's really a pity, but Americans push their children into such activity. And this is, of course, a broad generalization. There's beautiful light workers everywhere that's realizing that beingness is as important as all these development of talents and so on. So the delight of our boundlessness is what a child can feel when they're not constantly kept busy. It's okay for them sometimes just to be. So the next one in the Americas is the delight of the game of relationship. We have been fed such total nonsense by Hollywood that it has soured people for relationship. So the next one is Africa. The delight of beingness and life. The delight of the participation in the unfoldment of life. Delight in the game of innovation. Then, the last landmass, and there was this very fascinating how this works, because Aoife picked up that she received a key to unlock the missing frequencies on 4 continents, but there were 5 continents. The oracle Karen picked up the 5 continents. She actually gave their sigils. And the 5th continent is Antarctica. And Antarctica, this is a very important one, because to show you the perfection of how all this works. So Aoife sends me a alchemical equation that she received that she says is for the healing of tuberculosis and for the healing of this cystic fibrosis. Well, that's true, but not for people, for the earth. And the cystic fibrosis is in these other continents where this thick mucus is put in the form of these thick, icky, fearful, hateful, you know, revengeful, all these things are put underneath the land, beamed at people, and their feel-good feelings are removed. one ball removes the feelings, the other one embeds it, the other one makes it so that it's very impressionable and it's embedded. Antarctica, the problem was a hole. There was like an etheric hole that was open, allowing the past to come in. Number 13, and this equation was for Antarctica. Antarctica, the delight in the eternal changeless change of our existence as the one life. I have been bandying about the words changeless change quite a bit. It's time for me to explain that. My brothers and sisters, if you look at time, it goes through stages. First you're in linear time. Then you go into God consciousness, and then you go into eternal time, which is where everything is vastly slowed down. Then you go into the moment when you go into your ascended mastery. So there's three stages that you need to go through to get to the place of timeless time. Well, first way to change is linear change. And linear change is transformation. I shed that which doesn't serve. Transmutation. I get something higher from something lower, which is alchemical. I get wisdom from insight, for example. Then you go to transfiguration. I move to the next layer of my life. So that is the triangle we have been in when we are in the sort of cycles of change. Now, then you go to the place where you change your environment by changing within, the Ho'oponopono. You change the environment by changing within. This is your next step where you take total self-responsibility. If you don't like the president, that's because there's something within you that he is mirroring. Even that, you can change. He will change as you change. But there's a third way, and I have just begun to enter this. And it is that I absolutely refuse to have my life's pace dictated by cosmic things that need to be fixed. We know that to have to fix anything is an illusion. Then what is it that's dictating my pace? I just won't do that anymore. I feel like an action figure. Day and night, I'm on call. If there's something that needs to be done, then I need to get up. And there's no two ways about it. I mean, I can't sleep because beings are knocking at my head, loud talking in my ear from beings. This is taking place. You need to look at this. You know, ask the infinite what needs to be done. I feel like an action figure. And my life has been dictated by the need to make life better when there's nothing to make better. And I have for 3 days now absolutely put my foot down. I will not have the pace dictated. Example. A few years ago, well, maybe not a few years ago. How long ago is it? It started in 2007. In 2007, there was a major attempt to take my life. There was again an attempt recently to take my life. I knew there was going to be seven. The oracles had picked it up that there would be another one in New York. My daughter picked up, my little girl, and she cried before I left, telling me, please, you know, she doesn't want to lose me. I knew there would be another one in New York. But then we jumped stages, and all of a sudden, all of them were in my face. And so, you know, I was sitting there having to do all this alchemy and having to finish it by a certain time. And I suddenly just said, no more. I won't do this. There is no death. There is no illusion. There is no shadow. This is changeless change. My brothers and sisters, I have promised our radio host I would end round about this time. Our brother Don, who's not there tonight, said this working the radio station, but I would have to say goodbye now. And thank you so much for joining us, and we will do next week's live as well. If you're tuning in on Tuesday, of course, This replays on Sunday night as well on Station 2, 9 p.m. on Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for joining us. Much love to you always. Goodbye now.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.